when I am not blocking myself off from expressing my truth, I am in relationship with myself as nature, and therefore I am a clear channel for abundance to flow through. And with abundance, that's when I can feel more full to give to others, to give to myself, to share my work with others, and to live from a space of having enough, having sufficient. And I feel that's also what kills competition, jealousy, envy, all of that. Because knowing that everyone has our own path to walk and to choose from, there is no competition.
Hello and welcome to It's a Journey podcast. How are you healing today? Your host, Stephanie Naidu, welcomes guests from different parts of the globe with professional expertise in health and holistic wellness. Holistic means physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. So what do all of our guests have in common? It's their dedication to help us with our healing journey and personal development. Let's dive into this new episode with our special guest and explore the answers in order to continue our personal journey's exploration towards healing and self-love.
Stephanie Chante Leong is a trauma-informed somatic depth therapist and quantum energy practitioner. Her bold mission is to guide humanity to live an abundant life of purpose, power, and pleasure. A background in depth psychology, leadership training, somatic yoga, breathwork, and meditation allows her to hold safe and steady containers for her clients to transform their challenges into their strength potential. She supports leaders and clients in discovering their authentic power, embodying their purpose, and reconnecting with pleasure. Stephanie's work specializes in childhood trauma and abuse, sex and intimacy, self-worth, and wealth. She inspires a client to connect with their innate power and supports them to uncover their soul's gift. Working with Stephanie presents a deeply alchemical journey of healing, transformation, and a rebirth of a secure, intimate relationship with yourself and your body. In this 20th episode, I will be talking to Stephanie about somatics. Our topic today is reclaiming our body to live an abundant life.
Hello, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being here on my podcast. It's a journey. It's such a pleasure to have you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much too, Steph. It's very, very nice to be here. It's an honor.
So let's start our podcast with you. You are a somatic depth therapist and a quantum wealth activator. Can you tell us what led you to what you do today and define somatics and quantum so we all clearly understand the terminology?
Yes, definitely. So my journey in this began really when I was working in Lululemon as a manager. And what I was so moved and inspired by is how much of the people that they focus on. There was so many trainings with regards to leadership development, personal and professional development, especially with examining what our core values are, discovering what our vision for our greater purpose is, and also what are some actionable steps we can take towards that. Our vision. So all of this was given to us since day one, and mm-hmm. It was the beginning of a beautiful journey of connection with self, with others, and also with leadership. So there is this strong belief in Lululemon that every employee is a leader in spite of whichever role they were in. So with that, there was a huge focus on training, and I remember being very, very much inspired by the trainers who came to Singapore to train the leaders. And I told my manager at that time that my development plan, I would like to grow in the direction of training and development. So at that time, I was also teaching yoga part-time. And there was something very special about yoga that I didn't have words for. So, for example, there was one time whereby I was in half moon pose and suddenly I just felt every single cell of my body smiling with so much joy. I couldn't understand it because it was the most random moment. There was no explanation, like mental explanation to the joy. But it was just that. And at other times after practice, during practice, I would connect with such intense emotions like anger or like deep sadness and grief. And I never understood why that was. I couldn't find information online that I could be pleased with. So I did more research until one day I heard the term somatics. And somatics is the very word that would describe all of the experiences I felt when I was in my yoga practice. So I was wondering, what can I do to marry the love I have of leadership and personal development with somatics, with the body? And I found a perfect master's program in Pacifica Graduate Institute in Santa Barbara. So it's a master's PhD 5-year track whereby the focus was on depth psychology as well as somatic studies. So we learned various somatic practices through the lens of the unconscious of the soul, the psyche, whereby we were studying dreams and mythology and what depth psychology is, what our unconscious really holds. So upon graduation, I didn't know what to do because this is not straightforward. It's not like it's a counseling degree or a clinical degree whereby I can just go to a clinic or a hospital and ask for a job. So I was lost. I was really lost at the time until one day it just came down to me like a download, a channel download, most randomly. And what this was called is somatic depth therapy, whereby I merged all the practices of everything that I learned in school and also in my yoga meditation training together with what I know from coaching, from being at Lululemon, and melded all of them into a skeletal structure in which I have been holding space for clients. So I would say during the journey, it's very much of bringing into union our conscious and our unconscious minds by starting off with dialoguing about what the client has been experiencing, and then through the breath, journeying into the body to discover actually what's really going on, because our body holds all of our memories, experiences, and stories. So when we do that, we are able to find the root cause of what is the trigger, what is the block, the obstacle, the challenge that the clients have been facing. And we do this through imagery. Imagery is a concept from depth psychology known as active imagination, whereby instead of fantasy, whereby we let our thoughts just go off on a wander or a limber, we are actually we are actually conscious of our thoughts and where our thoughts are going. We are following them. And this entire process has been so healing for myself when I do it for myself, and also as I witness clients. And we always close off the process by bringing clients back up into the conscious mind, so they're not just left there in their own unconscious. And through the sessions, we also speak of dreams, because when clients engage with the body, with the unconscious starts to be more chatty. And that's when more thoughts will emerge. Dreams at night will be a lot more vivid. So that is the idea of somatic depth therapy and what led me to what I'm doing. I would say also that there was a moment whereby I finally felt like I came into my body. And before then, I didn't realize I've been living life like beside my body or behind my body or above my body. So I would know of certain emotions, but I wouldn't feel the emotions. And this is because of various reasons, mostly childhood upbringing, whereby it wasn't safe for me to be in my body and feel all that I'm feeling, the tiny, tiny vessel as a little girl. So very early on, I learned to jump out of my body every time I didn't feel safe. And somatics was the first time I ever felt a sense of belonging in the world through coming into my body. So you asked the question, what is somatics? I would say it is the lived experience of experiencing the world from inside this human vessel rather than looking at our body from the outside. So I would say an example would be when we are in a yoga class, instead of listening to what the teacher is saying, like straighten out your arms, shoulders back, chest out, or like stick your butt out. Instead of all these specific instructions that is for everybody, for the whole class, no matter what kind of body they have, but skeletal structure, it is to listen to what feels good in that moment. What does my body want to do in this moment? Does it want to soften? Does it want to ground down even more? Or do I want to get out of this asana because I don't like being in this asana? And why is it that I don't like being in this asana? Or what do I enjoy about this shape? So it's really the experience of being inside the vessel rather than trying to look perfect according to someone else's instructions or someone else's idea of perfect. It's a very personal experience whereby everyone's experience will be completely different. So I would say somatics is the field that lends us into embodiments. And to be embodied is really to allow for all of our parts to emerge. So the parts that from a young age and our growing up years have been maybe abandoned or exiled or disowned. For example, feelings of anger, feelings of deep grief or sadness, or even feelings of joy, like guilt about feeling joy and happy. When all of these parts have been exiled, we walk around the world not really knowing who we are and not really knowing what our big purpose is. So in the process of somatics and embodiment, we call back all of these parts. And I have a very strong belief that it's in our shadow, like these parts that we are not yet friends with, that our power lies, it points us to what actually is our purpose in this world, in this lifetime, in this body. So to me, somatics is really allowing for all parts of us to come online and to be talking and to listen, to be a safe container for all of these parts. I call the parts our orphaned children who have been orphaned. Yeah. And then to answer your question of quantum, I think, so in physics, quantum is the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest particle of something that could exist, right? But in the way I see it, I think of it as converging timelines. So for example, we could grow like stepping one step at a time, or we could pick up momentum, pick up pace. And as I say this, I'm thinking of the Fibonacci spiral, whereby it starts very small and then each outer spiral gets bigger and bigger and bigger than the last. So to me, that's quantum, whereby whenever we pick up momentum, we pick up pace, every stride we take takes us further and further and further. So for me, I think of quantum as transformation and also really being very steadfast about our intention and what is it that we want. Because when we are clear on what we want and we clear out the blocks that's in the way from where we are to where we want to be, it's a very quick quick jump and transformational process. So I call this alchemy.
Okay, thank you so much. There is already like a lot of information there, and then we'll continue, you know, to talk about like a lot of things. So first we go to the body, and we're gonna dive into this fascinating topic of the body. So our lifespan has extended tremendously. Therefore, we need to keep our body healthy to enjoy a good life, right? But beyond the physical aspect of our body, you said that our body is our home. I saw that, I think, on your website. Can you explain to us what you imply and what do you want us to understand when you say that?
Yeah, thank you. I feel emotional as I receive your question. Because I think a lot of times in our culture, we've been raised to not listen to the body. So even like, you know, as kids, it's so natural to play. It's so natural to daydream. But it's like, don't play, study, study. That's important. Stop dreaming, pay attention. That's important. Mm. And as we grow up, you know, like... even as we are tired, it's so common for us to overlook our fatigue and just, you know, trudge on, soldier on, and override all the messages of the body until we get really sick, or until a part of us, an organ, a body part starts failing us, and then we begin to resent the body. It's like this burden, this shell, it's preventing me from going on and on and on. But the thing is, we abandoned our body first. We let our body down first. And also with regards to body image, you know, like there's always been a ideal beauty, ideal sense of attractiveness. And if we are not that ideal, then there is something wrong with us. And that's when we begin to punish our body by whether it's restricting our body with the nutrients that it needs, or being very particular about the intake, that whereby we perhaps kill pleasure, the pleasure of being in a body and enjoying food, enjoying what we can experience with our five senses. And we also punish our body by over-exercising and over-exerting, going over limits, not listening to the body when the body is in pain, pushing through pain. Like in my teenage years as a cheerleader, what was told to us is to fight pain with pain. And now thinking back, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But at that time, it was worn like a badge of glory. Like, look at me. I'm so powerful. I'm in pain. But look, I can still do this. And same, like whenever I'm thinking in the corporate world, or whenever we are abandoning our needs for rest and instead we are meeting the crazy deadlines, it's fatigue is also worn or stress is also worn like a badge of honor. Like, I can abandon my needs, but I can perform. So to come home to the body is to give up the idea of a performance and to be really in relationship with this vessel that carries us, that allows for us to love one another, to love others, to be loved, to experience this world, to go on adventures, and to do the work that we came here to do as spiritual beings in a human body. This is the vessel that we chose so that we can do this work. But if we spend our time just denying the body of its needs, its desires, and also its safety, then how can we do whatever it is that the life work that we are meant to do? So the idea of coming home to the body is to listen, to be present, and to meet the body as she is, as this vessel is, however they show up, however this vessel chooses to show up in each day, and to come to a compromise between what needs to be done in our external life and what's going on inside for us.
When I listen to you, I cannot even tell you how what you are saying resonates with me, because like, so you are coming from, you know, an Asian culture and I'm coming from a Western culture, but in so many ways, I completely agree with you. Because, for example, you know, I was like reading, you know, there is a lot of going on between like women and aging at the moment in the Western world, because some of the, you know, like actresses, they start to empower, you know, like, you know, in aging, not stopping like the like the procedure and all that, and then age gracefully or age the way they want, it doesn't matter. And you know, I was like, when I was preparing the interview, I was like researching about like aging and in Asian culture, there is like, you know, something like it's less visible than in Western culture, and you know, like, but there's a lot of pressure on women, so this is for the Western, but on Asian women in different ways, how we should look, like the beauty standard doesn't matter how it is translated in the Western world, it means this, in the Asian world it means that, but there are standards, there are beauty standards, and I completely agree. So many times we're gonna ignore whatever the body said, and it's like at some point we don't even listen to it anymore. It's not that we ignore, it doesn't exist anymore, we just carry on with our life, this is what we have to do. You know, even we have like, you know, menstrual pain or things like that, we just like take a pill and then go to work, or, you know, like a lot of things that we do, and it's like completely like unhealthy. So when I listen, I'm like, oh my God, this is so true. Whatever you're saying with your experience, this is also, I mean, so true in many ways. So thank you for saying that, and then bringing back the attention to like a home. Our body. That's great. I was privileged to have a session with you, and it was absolutely amazing. So now I'm gonna talk a little bit more about your work. And what I want to share with our listeners is that although Stephanie and I, we were thousands of kilometers apart, my time with her was incredible. So I was in India and she was in Australia. And during the session, we focused on my feet and on my chest, because this is where I was feeling the most sensations and discomfort. And during the session, my body was actively moving, which is different than what I've done in the past. So I shook my feet, I let a lot of sounds coming out of my throat, and Stephanie was with me at every stage and guiding me, which is like completely amazing. So can you tell us more about that process, how you guide your clients during one session?
Definitely. And it was such a privilege to hold space for you as well, Steph. So I always begin with creating safety within the body, because mm-hmm. without a sense of safety, nothing would happen. Nothing would emerge, because it wouldn't feel safe. It wouldn't trust us, especially if we have been denying its needs for a very long time. So somatics is a very feminine process. Feminine meaning like it's not a linear, you know, it's not a linear journey, but instead it spirals. Sometimes we go backwards, sometimes we go forward. And the work in itself, each session has its own soul. And for me, what I do in each session is to listen and to be with the soul between you and me. There is a third. And the third is how the transmission comes across and how we are both able to engage in the work together.
Mm.
You know, it's like it's a third party. So what I always do to begin is to create safety, whether that is by grounding first from wherever each client comes from, to take time to just drop into the body. And we begin every session with grounding. And then from grounding, I often invite clients, and I believe I did with you, to listen to what within this beautiful vessel wants attention today. Our body holds infinite stories, even memories that we have forgotten, experiences that we have maybe consciously, unconsciously wiped out from our mind. Our body remembers everything. So when it feels safe, certain memories, certain sensations are going to emerge, and it's going to be like, hey, I'm here. Remember me? Look at me. Can you be with me today? So that's what we do. After the grounding process, I bring clients back into consciousness. And that's when we begin to dialogue. Okay, what came up for you? And then for you, very quickly, it was like sensations within your feet. We weren't sure what those sensations were about, right? But sensations within the feet. And then I also ask, okay, what have you been experiencing these past couple of days or weeks? And if it's a first time session, I always say, what have you been experiencing over the past months or years that you notice has been an emerging theme? And then the client would share, as you did, and I would then bring the client into a lying down position. And this is where we begin a deeper dive into the body. And you can think of it as like taking a submarine down into the ocean, because our body, the ocean represents the primal subconscious energy. And that's what we are doing. So you can think of it as a waking dream, going into dream time, but this time we are awake. So whenever we enter this unconscious for the second time, I often ask, okay, so what is one thing your attention now? And then sometimes it is the exact thing that shows up when we were in the grounding process, you know, the first dip into our unconscious. And for you, it was the feet immediately. That was clear as day.
Right.
It's not always the case for other clients, because sometimes multiple things are wanting attention all at the same time. So I've had clients who describe like five different things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when that occurs, it's like five children really wanting mommy's attention. Mm-hmm. So I often say, okay, so who is the loudest right now? Even if it's louder by just a little, who is a bit louder? Because usually the one that's a bit louder has been waiting the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And we always start there. And sometimes when we begin there, we begin the process with the first orphaned child, the first part of us that wants attention. So other parts might feel also like relieved, or they might also have energy being expressed. So when I ask, okay, what's the part that wants attention? And for you, it's the feet. We go to the feet. And then before anything else, it's being present to the feet, being just there, witnessing, breathing into the feet, and holding space for the feet to do what the feet are doing. Instead of like, okay, what's happening? You know, instead of going in like a investigator with a microscope, we kind of, it's like witnessing a deer in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. We don't go up close because we might scare it away. It might disappear, which happens sometimes. The emotion would just go away. The sensation go away and there's nothing there. And that's when it's like deer caught in headlights, you know? So we go slow. We go gently. And maybe we say hi, we introduce ourselves. Or maybe from a distance, we observe what's going on. Like, oh, okay, I'm feeling heat. It's tingling. And then, so all of these are very rich information, very rich data to inform us what is happening in our life. So with heat, usually it's linked to an emotion, whether it is frustration, irritation, anger. With heat, it's usually one of the more active emotions. And the opposite would be true too. So with coldness, there will be stagnation. It's more of a depression, a sadness, a grief. So an emotion that brings us down, whereas anger gets us up, you know, and out. So temperature is a very, very useful somatic expression of what's really going on within. So as we examine the heat and other sensations that were present, I believe I asked, okay, tell me more about this experience, watch it grow, witness it grow, breathe more into it, let it get a bit bigger to the extent that you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, as we engage with what is going on already in the feet, usually memory would begin to emerge because it's been waiting for an acknowledgement, right? So memory would come up. And if it doesn't, sometimes I offer the prompt, where in your life do you feel this way? Where in your life are you feeling this discomfort of the heat? Or where are you feeling this discomfort of the tingling, the pins and needles? And sometimes the clients are able to just click when a question is being asked because the soul is just ready to respond. And at other times, it's not so fast. So I would continue witnessing this and allowing it to express itself. So sometimes I'll ask, okay, so what does this heat want to say to you right now? And maybe it's like, I need to slow down. I need to ground. Or maybe it's, I need you to hold me. I feel too much. This is too much. It's overwhelming. Can you just hold me? And yes, we would respond. Always. We would always respond because from my experience, we go through life with our needs not being responded to from, you know, various instances. As early as when we were crying as babies, because we were crying, our parents would have no clue why are we crying.
Mm.
And sometimes by luck or intuition, they would guess, we need a diaper change. We need to sleep. We need food. We need water. Sometimes parents just don't know and they can't help not knowing because babies don't communicate like adults do. And sometimes parents just don't respond to the crying because they want the crying to stop. So when these things happen, we learn to stop also asking for help. We learn to stop asking for what we need at a very primal age. Before we even learn to speak, we learn to take care of ourselves. We learn self-soothing. So in pediatrist, Donald Winnicott's work, this is known as the false self, like creating a false self. So the idea of this process of being present, so present with the body and attuning to its needs is a rewiring of the need that didn't get met all those decades ago when we were a little baby. So right now it's really asking, okay, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. How can I support you in this moment? What do you need? And listening and trusting. So with a lot of clients, it's like, I don't know. And we only don't know because we are wanting to do it right. We are wanting to get it perfect because that's how it's been conditioned in modern world and society, that there is a right and a wrong. Nothing in between. So with the body, there is no right and no wrong, and no one else would know except for you because you are in your body. I am a witness, but I'm not inside your body. So you would know. So we always go with the first impulse, the first instinct. So this process really, really supports us in coming back into relationship with our innate primal intuition that every human being has access to. You know, not just gifted mystics and psychics. Everyone has access to this. Mm. If only we know to slow down and to listen to the little tiny impulses. And the more we listen to them, the more confident they become and the louder their voice gets. And that's when making decisions in life becomes very steady for us, very clear, because we are so attuned to the different parts of our body. So coming back to the process, after we find out what is the need in the feet, we have a dialogue with it. We find out what the expression that needs to come out. So sometimes we speak, whether it's saying something as simple as no, that's it. I've had enough. And usually we think that we are speaking to somebody else. We're speaking to the part of our full to the brim of overwhelm and exhaustion. And it's easy to just blame, like, oh, my company, my boss, my team. That's why I have so much work to do. But it's really ourselves and our, at that time, maybe our not being able to assert our boundary and say, no, this is not working for me. I can't do this. Let's do it this way instead. Or, hey, can I push back my deadline? Because I cannot possibly complete all of these tasks. There's so much shame to not being able to fulfill the task that was given to us that we no longer assert what is okay and what is not okay. We don't know the line of what's humanly possible and what becomes machinery possible.
Yeah.
And then we treat ourselves like robots and machines, which goes back to what you're saying about aging and killing what's natural, killing our lines, right? Our wrinkles by having something plastic or something non-natural injected into our skin. It is in alignment with that, with wanting to be perfect, wanting to be a machine, and that takes away soul. It completely takes away soul. So with that, we respond to what it is the body needs, and if it's to say no, if it's to express something, we do that. And when, as we do that, usually sensation begins to subside, to fade, or transform. So most of the time, from what I've witnessed, underneath anger, there is a lot more, whether it's hurt, disappointment, grief, joy. So we go deeper and deeper and deeper, following the body until it's time for a wrap. And we know that because either of the timing of the container, or we arrive at a point whereby the soul of the work just asserts itself. Okay, I'm done. No more processing today. This is enough. And then we respect that. We honor that. We take time for integration. And we come out of the process. We dialogue about it. And then we speak about, okay, how can I take what I've experienced in this session out into my life? Because that is the real work. What happens in the session is a microscopic moment of what everything that happens in our life. So this is where I believe transformation occurs. It's that willingness to examine what can I do differently in my life. And I would say that somatics has been such a huge gift, because through the body, whether it's through crying, laughing, pushing, punching, screaming, we are moving. We are moving the body, so we are moving energies. So previously, pathways that were stuck that maybe prevented us from asserting our boundaries or our needs, or making a different decision than we usually do. Usually we choose because we feel like maybe I don't have a choice. If we choose something that is, we know is unhealthy for us, we often tell ourselves a story like, I can't help it, I don't have a choice, I need to do that. But the truth is, it's simply because the other possibilities, the other pathways in the body has not yet been ignited or fired up. So what happens during the session of movement, of releasing, sometimes it's cathartic, just a massive release of emotions. This just clears the way and opens a brand new pathway for us to live, to choose, to walk. And I always tell clients that now you simply have two pathways. Your old one doesn't automatically die. If you need to, if you feel not yet fully ready to embark on your new one, you can always do your old one. Nothing bad would happen because that's the pathway you've always been walking anyway. But now you have more empowerment because you have choice. You can walk your old pathway, you can walk your new pathway. And with each ongoing session, more and more and more pathways begin to be ignited and illuminated. And then we're able to really be present in each moment and decide, okay, how do I want to respond to this when I'm in a heated moment with my partner, or when I'm feeling really trapped with the amount of workload that I have? How do I want to respond? And now we are given more tools in order to respond so that it is really honoring where we are at in that moment and no longer abandoning ourselves.
That's very interesting. At the end of the session, there is one part that is about energy healing. And you talk a little bit about that now. How does it work, like this energy healing? And again, you know, like being so far apart, I would like you to tell me a little bit more about this the very end of that session.
Yeah, thank you for asking this. So honestly, it's a huge mystery to me. The more I try to wrap my conscious mind around it, the more I realized like this thing is bigger. It's much bigger than what I can understand. Because how on earth is it possible that you are in India, I'm here in Melbourne, and I'm activating energy through my hands, through my intention, and you're feeling something in the body?
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
So I have my ideas of what it could be, but I don't want to say that it's the end all be all because everyone would have their own ideas. So for me, I think of everything as vibration. Everything as vibration. And even if someone's not an energy healer or don't believe in this, it's like, you know, when we go to a church versus going to a club or a bar, there is something that is very felt. There is something in the atmosphere, in the room, that feels completely contrasting to each other. Maybe one would feel like, ah, I'm so at peace, this is so serene, so tranquil. And maybe at a club, it's like, oh, this is really loud, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable, or I'm really enjoying this and feeling really uncomfortable with the quietness at the church. So, you know, this is so intangible. You can't actually say exactly what it is, but you can feel it, right? You can feel it. So I believe that there is everything carries vibration. This includes our thought. And I think this brings us back to quantum theory, quantum healing, because even our thoughts are vibrational. Our emotions are vibrational. Everything has a vibration. So what I believe to be true for the modality that I use, it's called Akasma Quantum Energy Healing, is that I anchor in an intention for the client, whatever it might be. And if it's general, if it's just simply to integrate the experience of a somatic therapy session, it would be that it's to hold space and to allow for a completion of what is needed for the client's body, client's soul, so that they can really anchor in the frequency or the experiences that they undergone through the session. And recently I've come across an interpretation of this that I really resonate with, which is that quantum healing works on repatterning our energetic field around us, and also the different ways of movement of energy within us, within our body, that allows for even more spaciousness for our highest self to come in and to integrate with our current being. So for me, what I do feel is that energy healing works in a way that exists beyond space and time. And that's why through the screen, even though we have like maybe a 6-hour time difference, you're feeling it in real time.
Yeah.
You know, even though like what I'm doing now is actually in the future of what you're experiencing, but you're getting it in real time. And even I believe like it manifests in technology. I think it's a far jump here, but I'm just going with it. For example, through the modality of Zoom, we are in completely different spaces, different countries across oceans apart. And it's my 4 p.m. and I believe it's your morning time, right?
Yeah.
Yet we are having this conversation in real time. I'm speaking, you're responding, and I'm looking at you. I'm feeling your smile. I'm feeling your curiosity. I'm feeling your presence. So I think of energy healing as this way. It's just it's the Zoom that we cannot see. Yeah. And I use it because I have felt immense benefits from it, even though I don't fully understand it. But I have experienced energy healing calming me in the peak of anxiety. In the very peak of anxiety, when I activated Akasma quantum energy through my hands, it felt like there were big hands, like whether it's hands of spirit, hands of God, I don't know, just on my shoulders, calming me down. And it felt like I just took a melatonin. It's a very, very felt sensation in the body. So, and before that, I was the biggest skeptic of all of these things until one day I chanced upon a video on YouTube of somebody offering this modality of energy healing through the video, and I was just mellowed. I was really, really settled. And then I just had to learn this. So I reached out to the founder of AQE and I started with the program the next week. And honestly, I was really nervous and afraid to share this part of myself with the world, because somatics, psychology, it's backed, you know, it's backed by research, but backed by science.
Yeah.
This is still esoteric. And I was afraid of being rejected and being discredited for all the work that I've done just because I'm sharing this modality that I deeply believe in. So that was in itself a whole other journey, whereby I learned that the more of myself I'm accepting, the more of this part of me emerges, and I'm seeing how it really affects and impacts clients' growth. Without energy healing, with energy healing, there's such a huge difference in their progress. And it brings me back to the Fibonacci spiral, because with energy healing, what I'm seeing about the changes that they are, maybe even without noticing the changes that they are making in their lives, how they're showing up, the words and the language that they are speaking, so much more empowered. Like their growth is quantum. There's no other word for it. Hugely transformational.
Okay, there's a lot there for sure. It's very interesting. I mean, first, what I want to say is that it's not because we don't know how exactly it works now, that in the future, in 50 years, I don't know, you know, whatever, that we won't know. Maybe we won't, we will know in the future, but, you know, it doesn't mean that, we are not able to explain. And sometimes it's okay not to be able to explain. At some point it comes in the future. And the other thing I want to ask is that if we develop like more awareness, can we feel that when we have like the energy being like transmitted from somebody else to us? Because I guess we need to be open-minded, because some people, they will completely like reject the idea about like, you know, like energy moving and all that. But like, I'm thinking that the more aware we are, the more are we able to receive and then understand the transformation, right, happening inside, or even like in the few days we start to be aware of like what's going on, things are changing, and we start to see the change around us, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, fabulous. I'm going back to something that's of your work. You recently launched an Embody Becoming mentorship program, and honestly, it looks absolutely fantastic. Can you tell me who is it for, and what outcome should be expected by the participants? And I also want to know, if our listeners are able to book a complimentary session before signing up with you, would that be possible?
Thank you. So, I'm feeling so much as I'm speaking about this, because this is something that means the whole world to me, because I wish that I had this offering when I was starting out with Soma Psyche Alchemy back in 2020. Someone who has gone through this journey and is able to walk my hand through it, not telling me what to do, but supporting me in the process of finding out what I can do that is most authentic to myself. So Embodied Becoming is a 6-week alchemical vessel. I say that because it's hugely transformational. Mm-hmm. And it's for people who are seeking to create something deeply meaningful in their life, whether it's to close the chapter on the job that they've had for years and years and years that maybe kept them going financially, emotionally, but there was maybe always a whisper of what else is out there. I'm meant to do something different. I'm meant to do something more. I'm meant to serve. I'm meant to serve humanity. But having no clue what shape or form it's in. So last month in May, astrology just snuck up behind me and completely took over my whole life. And I was very much surprised, because it's like, okay, where does this fit in with somatics? Where does this fit in with psychology? What am I meant to do now with this big, big, fiery passion with the soul of the material of astrology that's just came in and taken over? And most automatically, there was a merging. There was a merging, because I started being very curious about it, and I used all my friends as my guinea pigs. I reached out to all of them. I was like, hey, so I'm trying this thing out. Can I please have your birth date, time, location, so that I can offer you tips to get rich? And it started with that, you know. It was It's called quantum wealth activation. Mm-hmm. And I believed in it, because back in 2022, there was a month whereby my salary just quadrupled. And I didn't know what I did right. So I was never able to recreate that figure, that sexy figure for myself, because I had no idea what on earth did I do that was right. So when I looked at my birth chart, it gave me clues as to what I could activate in myself. So when I say that, I don't mean it just energetically, but I mean each sign rules a different body part.
Yeah.
And each planet rules different areas of our life. So with regards to wealth, I look specifically at Venus, the planet Venus, and also Jupiter, because Venus is the planet of love, beauty, art, and money. It talks about our wealth magnetism, what makes us attractive, what people would love to pay us for, and what is our physically beautiful body parts. Jupiter is the planet of expansion, of luck, of abundance, of opportunity. So I'm looking at these two planets, what sign they are in, and also the signs would be like the aspects of ourselves, the personality and the flavor of ourselves, and what house they are in. So the house is the area of our life, whether it's the area of career, groups and community, spirituality, at home, with our children, with our inner child, with routine and ritual. So there are 12 houses, 12 signs, and also 12 planets. So looking at Venus and Jupiter, I was able to then decode what specifically, like the steps to do every day, or whenever you'd like to. But for me, I do it every day because I know this helps me become wealthy. And I began to saw patterns with my friends, like friends who just had a really abundant mindset, and also friends who want to be abundant, but they're not quite there yet. So I was witnessing and observing their wealth codes and also what their life actually looked like. So friends who already were abundant, they were living their wealth codes. For example, for some people, it's to stay at home, to make sure your home is beautiful, to make sure that you feel safe at home. Mm. And friends who already had that, they had a wonderful life that they were so satisfied with. And then I'm looking at friends who maybe really desire abundance. And of course, all of us do. And perhaps where within their wealth codes, they might be denying. So for example, if we have Venus or Jupiter in Leo, we are really meant to express ourselves. Mm. But in this culture, the culture I was in, or the culture that I was brought up in, it's like, be quiet, be good. Don't be too loud. If you're upset, don't cry. If you cry, I'm going to be angrier. So from a very early age, we learn to not express ourselves. We learn to deny our self-expression, and then we learn to do it right, or do it good, you know? So in doing that, we are completely blocking off our access to Venus. And we are blocking off our access to our self-expression, and therefore our magnetism of beauty, our magnetism of wealth, of opportunities. So recognizing these things, it's kind of like giving you a permission slip, like, here, express yourself as much as you want, take up space. You're meant to take up space. So that's for the Leo. And for each sign, there are different personalities and different ways to show up. And usually it's to show up in a way that is most truthful to them. It's just the parts of themselves that they stuff down because they have been conditioned from a very early age, like, don't be like this. So for me, it's spirituality. So it's exactly what I said a few moments ago of being so shy to share my spiritual side with the world, because I'm a somatic therapist and my Venus is in Pisces, which is all about spirituality and energy healing. So what I realized is that when I wove in energy healing into my work, abundance just flowed naturally. And my idea of it is because I allowed for my human to be in alignment with my true nature, with my soul, with my blueprint, my original blueprint, what I came here to do. And when that happens, I'm being in alignment with nature. And nature is so abundant. That's how we have beautiful gardens and forests and oceans and deserts, so abundant. So when I am not blocking myself off from expressing my truth, I am in relationship with myself as nature, and therefore I am a clear channel for abundance to flow through. And with abundance, that's when I can feel more full to give to others, to give to myself, to share my work with others, and to live from a space of having enough, having sufficient. And I feel that's also what kills competition, jealousy, envy, all of that. Because knowing that everyone has our own path to walk and to choose from, there is no competition. The only competition is really what can we do to unblock ways that we maybe have been sabotaging ourselves or blocking ourselves from true power, authentic power, primal power, not power over others, but taking back our own power and being in alignment with our purpose. So this has been really, really eye-opening and soul-expanding for me. And embodied becoming looks at various planet placements to let us know what is the light that we are here to shine, and what do we need to feel safe. Because knowing what we need to feel safe gives us a clue about our soulmate clients, the people that will want our medicine. They will want to reach out to us to find out for whatever reason, you know, we could be offering whatever, but it's actually us, that it's a frequency that we are exuding that is what our soulmate clients want. And also knowing what we lust for is important, because lust has maybe been something that has been shamed or shut down or denied, right? But lust is actually the fire that fuels our motivation. Motivation is so important because it gets us out into the world to take action so that we can get ourselves what we need. We can put our life work out into the world. We can be the embodied walking, living, breathing example of our purpose, of living a life that's so fully aligned and fulfilling. And also knowing where our deepest, darkest parts are. So for that, I look at our Lilith placements, our Chiron, our South Nodes, because when we look at these things, it gives us clues as to what are some shadows that we can process in therapy. And this is where somatics comes back in, so that we can befriend our shadows, and then we can wield the power that has been suppressed in the darkness, and then use it as our soul's gifts, as our way of contributing to the world through our very own journey. So this has really taken over me, and it's really like being a conduit for spirit to work is what I feel with regards to this mentorship. So right now I'm working with people who are really searching for what is it that I can do to contribute in a way that's meaningful and make money while doing it.
That sounds like a very exciting program. Thank you so much for sharing. And regarding like the a session with you, complimentary session.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay.
Initial consultation. It's always complimentary. Always.
Okay. Fantastic. So I will put the link in the description box on YouTube. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We are wrapping up this interview with one last question, and it's about your daily practice. So I'm very excited to hear about what you have to say.
Yes. So it really changes with every season that I'm in. So I'll share my current season.
Sure.
So right now I am starting every single day with a visualization meditation by Joe Dispenza.
So the season in terms of like season, like winter you are talking about, or season of like your more like, you know, like in terms of like your own season, like, you know, related to what you want, what you feel, what, just to, so to be clear, what kind of season are we talking about?
Thank you, Steph. Thank you so much. My own personal season.
Your own personal season. Oh, okay, perfect. Okay.
Sometimes it's in alignment with the outside season, the seasons of nature.
Okay.
And sometimes not.
All right. But,
right now, this season, I am beginning every day with a visualization meditation with Joe Dispenza. And on YouTube, I believe it's Start Your Day with this 20-minute guided meditation. I really enjoy the felt experience of that. So before my feet touches the floor, I'm already feeling my top self, you know, my most abundant self, my best self. And that, right, the energy rides me through the day with how I show up for my clients, the decisions that I make for myself, and also that frequency that I'm transmitting out, emanating out into the world, because what I'm emanating out ripples back in towards me. So it's a beautiful way to begin the day. And I really encourage for everybody to explore that if that resonates. And then I take time to be very slow and prepare my breakfast. So I call my breakfast a prayer to Persephone. Persephone is the Greek goddess who went into the underworld and married the king of the underworld, Hades. And I think of this work that I'm doing, somatic alchemy, somatic depth therapy, is very much going into the underworld of ourselves, because it is going into the shadows and then alchemizing, transforming our darkness, our fears, our doubts into our gifts and our power, taking our power back from the dark side of ourselves. So being friends with the darkness. So I begin my day like that. I have a bowl of oats with lots of berries, because berries remind me of Persephone. So I have that, and I have cacao, and I'm so slow with my breakfast. As best as I can, I don't do anything else. I'm just with my food, really with my food. And as I'm like chewing and tasting the berries, I feel so abundant, so wealthy, just being with nature in this way, taking in Earth's goodness, Earth's fertility. And my hope is that I am giving out the same thing into the world. So I do that, and then I always have a movement practice. So sometimes it's asana. When I want it to be more structured, I'll do a yoga practice. And sometimes it's strength training, because I do want my bones to continue remaining strong. So it's usually yoga or strength training. And some days where I don't want any structure, I'll put on music and I'll just move my body as my body wants to move. So every day it depends on what my body wants. I listen to that. And then I take a very, very luxurious shower. Again, just preparing myself for the day, whereby I'm holding space for the rest of the day. I'm holding space for clients. And this morning routine really feeds my soul. And I begin the day feeling so full. And the rest of the day, I'm just pouring from this place of enough. The word is not here right now.
I see what you mean. Okay, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, for being here with us today. It was like extremely delightful to be to have this conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. I deeply appreciate it.
You can learn more about Stephanie on Instagram at Glitter Dust and Love Hearts, on Facebook at soma.psyche.alchemy, and on our website www.somapsychealchemy.com. For a free consultation, write to Stephanie at journey@somapsychealchemy.com. If you didn't have time to write everything down, or if you have any doubts about the spelling, no worries. All the links are listed in the description section on our YouTube channel at Ujivati. Thank you to all our listeners, and see you very soon for more on healing, self-love, and your personal journey.
Thank you for listening and for taking time for yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with others on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest from Ujivati, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Ujivati. Thanks again, and see you on the next episode.